שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר פסח בעמוד
146. Now we are reading from the Passover book, page.
המאמר מופיע גם בספר כתבי רבש כרך א', עמוד 475. ניתן לשאול שאלות.
And the article by רבש also appears in the writings of רבש. Volume 1.
We need to think how we are going through this transition from our ego, from our nature, from our earthly, corporeal one of this world that's controlling us, and in a more clear, more concealed way, but nevertheless controlling us in everything. Our ego is simply our Pharaoh. And this is what it does. It rules 100%, except for one thought, one point we have called the point in the heart, which connects us with the Creator. And through this point, we need to turn to the Creator and ask for Him to take us out of the control of Pharaoh, from that edge of that rope there. And that's what we want to ask for. So we need to think about this period of time we're going through, with this coronavirus, with sitting in our homes, with the fact that we're under such states that are unique, and this is a period that is prior to the Exodus from Egypt. And we aim and prepare with you to exit Egypt, to exit the control of our will to receive, which differentiates between us, towards a connection. As this connection between us, as we begin to feel, is considered that we're exiting Egypt and we're moving to the land of Israel, to a desire aimed towards Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator. So there's Egypt, which is the current state still, where each of us is under his own ego. And there's the land of Israel, the desire which is aimed direct to the Creator. And to move from Egypt to the land of Israel is actually from one desire to another, is called the exit from Egypt, and this exit is involved with several actions. Let's hope that we go through this soon, and our desire will be aimed towards the Creator within the kli called neshama, soul, and in such a way we will merit to see, feel, and live on a different level of life in a superior land. So let's see what we have here to do in order to make this transition, please.
Again, Passover book, page 146 in Hebrew, article, The Connection Between Passover, Matzah, and Maror. You can also find it in the writings of Rabash, volume 1. It is written in the Haggadah, the Passover story, thus did Hillel in the time of the temple. He would bind together Passover, lamb, matzah, and maror, bitter herb, and eat them together to observe what was said. They shall eat it with matzah and bitter herbs. We should understand this in the work. What is the connection between those three things that he would eat together imply? To understand the meaning of the Passover offering at the time of the Exodus from Egypt, when they came out from the enslavement they were under in Egypt, we should first understand the meaning of the exile in Egypt. From what did they suffer there? Concerning the Maror, It is written in the Haggadah, this Maror we are eating, what is it for? For the lives of our fathers in Egypt were made bitter by the Egyptians, as it is said, and they made their lives bitter with hard work, which they made them to do hard labor. We should understand what, and they made their lives bitter with hard work, means, what is it in the work of the Creator? It is known that the work of the Creator is when we work for the sake of the Creator, when we are rewarded with adhering to the life of lives. And precisely when we work in order to bestow, this is the time to receive the light and pleasure that the Creator created in order to do good to His creations. This means that the salvation of the Lord comes into the vessels of bestow. We should make two discernments concerning the entrance of the abundance into the vessels of bestow. One, the abundance comes in order to create vessels of bestow. Two, the light comes once he has vessels of bestow. This means that when one wants to walk on the path of bestowing contentment upon one's maker and not for one's own sake, the body resists with all its might and does not let him make any movement. It takes away from him all the motivation and strength that he had in order to do things for the Creator. And when a person sees the truth as it really is, when he sees how immersed he is in self-love, and there is not a spark in his body that will let him do anything in order to bestow, in that state, a person has already achieved the truth, meaning he has come to the recognition of evil. At that time, he has no way to help himself, and there is only one advice, to cry out to the Creator to help him, as it is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and they cried out, and their cry rose up to God from the work.
Meaning we have several points here. The first point is that we want with you, each of us wants to emerge out of Egypt, out of his ego, to simply leave his way of seeing life that I want for myself, and that I only think about myself and care for myself, that's my nature. I was born with it, and with it I exist, and what can I do? And then I come to, through the awakening of my point in the heart, that I want to leave it. At first, I want to leave one world and enter the other, because I think it's good. Well, the fact that it's good, then, well, good. But later, we begin to understand that exiting one world to another, from Egypt to Israel, are two levels that Egypt is concerned for oneself, and Israel is concerned for the Creator, to the extent in which I can bring Him contentment. And for us to truly aim for the Creator and not spin it all back to myself, the Creator gives a sign that if you think not about yourself but about others, then that's a sign that you're directed, aimed towards me. Meaning, purposely shattered the desire he created into many desires, and then shows us that we're only thinking about ourselves, each of us. But if I want to be aimed to the Creator, I must think about others. And then through my thought about others, I come to thinking about the Creator. And then I and the Creator become equal, similar, as to the extent that he thinks about me, and he does so 100%, I also, to a certain extent, in a certain percentage, think about him. And by this I open up the Creator. I feel Him. I am close to Him, connected to Him. And then there's a connection between us. Meaning, to the extent in which I become connected to humanity, to the society, to everyone, to that extent, I am aimed to the Creator and feel Him. That's the entire exit from Egypt. That is the whole process we have to go through. But there are many changes on this process, many points along the way. This is what the whole Torah speaks about. The whole method of the wisdom of Kabbalah is to move a person through all these points from his fundamental, initial ego to completely resembling the Creator 100%, called the end of correction. This is what we need to do, and right now we are somewhere along the way. No longer the beginning, as in the beginning we were all as resembling beasts, meaning without an understanding that we're even in our egos, in the will to receive. And slowly, slowly we're advancing. Today we already feel that there's a society as a means, that through it I need to, if I want to come to the Creator, and there's my ego controlling me called Pharaoh, and I need to emerge out of my ego and run away from it, which is called the exit from Egypt. And I need to invert my ego to, in order to bestow, to bestow, through the reforming light called Torah, and to the extent in which my ego becomes from in order to receive to in order to bestow, that's considered that I am moving from Egypt to the land of Israel. And along the way, there are many changes, stations, and we will see them. Yes. Let's continue for the time being.
This is the meaning. This is the meaning. He who comes to purify is aided. The Zohar asks, with what? And replies, with a holy soul.
Meaning, how does the Creator help a person? By shining upon him with a special force called the upper light. And by this force, called light, the will to receive of a person begins to change. And those parts in the will to receive of each of us, when they begin to be also in order to bestow, that's called the holy soul, which awakens in a person through the influence of the upper light. The egoistic desire partially moves to becoming in order to receive. This is called that instead of an impure soul, now comes to a person a holy soul.
This is the meaning of what was said, he who comes to purify is aided. And the Zohar asks, with what? It replies, with the holy soul. It follows that the meaning of, and they made their lives bitter, means that they did not let him work in order to bestow, which yields dvekut, adhesion with a life of lives. Instead, the klipa of Egypt and Pharaoh governed the children of Israel with their governance of self-love, so they could not do anything against the Egyptians' will. This was the exile, that they wanted to come out of this exile, but could not. Accordingly, the meaning of what is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work.
But why does the Creator do it such that the exile will be so harsh, such that we will have difficulty leaving it? So we see this in our life too, that egotistically I want to be asked. And then when I'm asked, then after I'm asked, okay, then I give what is asked for. The Creator, it's not a matter with his of his pride, but because if we ask a lot, when we ask hard, to that extent we adhere to him, and then we can rise to him in greater height, in greater force, in greater resemblance to him. Therefore, it's not immediately that a person influences and succeeds to convince the Creator to help him, but again and again and again he asks and asks, like a little child that kind of nudges and nudges until the Creator does. But we need to not forget that these requests accumulate together. They don't disappear. Not one request, not one address, with crying, without crying, doesn't matter how. All our appeals to the Creator through the society, even as much as it is through the society and as much as it's aimed to the Creator, all these addresses accumulate together. This is called a penny, and another penny adds up to a great sum. And then eventually we succeed and the Creator gives us help by illuminating upon us the upper light. And then our ego becomes the opposite. It becomes a desire to bestow and love. Please.
We continue. Accordingly, the meaning of what is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work. Which work are we speaking of? It means that it is from the work of the Creator, that this is called hard work. Since it was difficult for them to work in order to bestow, because the Egyptians and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, installed in them their thoughts and wishes.
כלומר, היות שקליפת מצרים הוא בעיקר אהבה עצמית.
Primarily self-love.
לכן המצרים שלטו על
Egyptians ruled over the people of Israel, so that the people of Israel too would walk in their way called self-love.
והיה קשה לישראל
להתגבר. It was difficult for Israel to overcome these thoughts.
וזהו שכתוב.
And this is the meaning of what is written. And the children of Israel sighed from the work. That is, while they were talking, while they were walking on the path of the Egyptians, which is in order to receive, the body gave them fuel, and it was not hard for them to do the work of the Creator. It is known that the Egyptians were servants of the Creator, as our sages wrote about what is written, and he took 600 carriages. And should you ask, from where did Egypt have livestock? For it was said, and all the livestock of Egypt died. It was from those who fear the word of the Lord, as it is written, the one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. From here they said, he who fears the word of the Lord will cause Israel's failure. Rashi concludes from this, Rabbi Shimon would say, the purest among the Egyptians kill, the best among the snakes smash its brains. It therefore follows that the hard work that they had was work in the field. For a field is the holy Shechina, divinity. As it is known that Malchut is called a field. It was difficult for them to take upon themselves the burden of the kingdom of heaven in order to bestow. But the Egyptians wanted them to do the holy work in order to receive. They let them think that this is called he who fears the word of the Lord. However, from here, from this discernment came Israel's failure, meaning those who are Yashar Kel, they wanted all their work to be only for their own sake. And from this emerged the failure. That is, the failure was primarily when the Egyptians spoke to Israel in the language of fearing the Creator.
In
this language emerge all of Israel's failures. Had the Egyptians spoke the language of the secular, the people of Israel would have fled from their influence for sure if they had come to them with their thoughts and desires.
There's a lot to interpret here. We have a whole article here about the multitude of masses, meaning that there are those people that are attributed somewhat to the Creator, but they say that we don't need to work in order to bestow. That is, we don't need to be working on the connection between us through which we come to the Creator. But just what we need to do with our hands and mouths, and this entire internal work where we're changing our will to receive, to be in order to bestow, to be more similar to the Creator, that's not quite necessary. Hence, they're very resistive towards the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the method of making of us resembling the Creator. I mean, to do what's written, yes, but to change to in order to bestow, no. And that a person who's not in the wisdom of Kabbalah is difficult for him to understand. And we need to understand them, that there's no choice. This is how they operate, and therefore our work needs to be, despite having many resistances and they attempt to rise above our nature. And well, in short, we will talk about this. I don't want to quite continue on that right now, but that will be clarified. But no matter what, we need to understand that this is one of the big problems that accompany those who want to rise above their natures. And in this we need to accept in that way, that to agree with the fact that the Creator sent this to us and created these discernments that accompany us in the emergence from our egos to degrees that are above the ego, called the land of Israel. And this is how we must advance, with the presence of our haters, which say that you're doing the wrong work. All in spirituality, we need to do all the work in corporeality. And it's a blemish, it's a big flaw, like he says. And this is for Israel. And this is why Rabash says here, I am reading in the article where he says that while they went on the way of Egypt, which is in order to receive, the body would give them fuel, and then they would think that it's the Creator that's helping them. And it wasn't hard for them to work with the way of the Creator, because they knew that the Egyptians were the Creator's workers, as our sages wrote about them taking 600 of the vehicles, and they stood there on the Egyptians, but it was said they stood with all of the matter of Egypt. And when the fear of the words of the Creator, as it's written, those who fear the words of the Creator, that are the servants of Pharaoh, as that was the part of Israel, those who would grasp the desires of man that wanted to then exit, and they said, no, it's not worthwhile to completely leave. We will remain here. We see this in ourselves. So we do decide that we want to emerge and love the friends, and through the friends come to the love of the Creator and to rise above in our nature. We're deciding on this. When we start to do that, we immediately feel how this stops us and gives us a little bit, even partially, to hold on to in order to bestow, and the rest in order to receive. And then this work that we did in order to bestow, we connected with friends, we did something, we studied. All of that becomes later a klipa. But also this klipa helps us eventually. It's an army that was swallowed and spat out. Meaning this whole klipa overcame and stole from us. Later we receive it back and come to the end of correction. Well, let's continue, and we should interpret.
Rav, if you want, we can also read the article you mentioned, matter of the environment.
We will do that later, but now that's not the main thing, but we will. Thank you.
So continuing, now we can interpret. Now we can interpret what is written, and the Egyptians enslaved Israel b'perech, with hard work. Our sages said, b'perech, with a soft mouth. We should understand the meaning of soft mouth in the work of the Creator. As was said above, the Egyptians spoke with the thoughts and desires that we must serve the Creator, but in order to receive. This is called a soft mouth. That is, the body agrees more to do the holy work with the intention to receive, and there is no need to aim to bestow.
It
follows that with these words they caused Israel to have hard work while assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven. And for this reason, everyone in Israel said that the holy work in order to bestow is very difficult. For this reason, the Egyptians imparted upon them thoughts that it is better to work in order to receive, that in this way they would see that each day they are progressing in good deeds. But in the work, in the form of Israel, they see for themselves that it is difficult, and the evidence of this is that they see no progress in the work. It follows that a soft mouth means that they make Israel think that if they follow their way, it is easier work. This is called soft, meaning it is easier to advance on the holy work. These complaints, the Egyptians made their lives bitter with hard work, for they would always explain to Israel that the work of Israel is called hard work, and is not for them. With chomer, mortar, means that the Egyptians explained to Israel the chumrah, the severity of bestowal, whereas in the work of Egypt, they will always be white, meaning they will feel no darkness in the work, and the body will agree to this work. This is called levenim, bricks, meaning that the work of Egypt is always regarded as levanim, white, without any stains or dirt, but they will always be perfect. By this, they made it really difficult for Israel to work for the Creator. In other words, the hard work extended from the Egyptians, always telling them about the chomer, the severity in the work of bestowal, and the levanim, the whiteness that there is in this work, and the fear of the Egyptians. It was said that from the one who feared the Lord extended Israel's failure. This means that from this extended to them the hard work in the field, meaning in the kingdom of heaven, that they wanted to take upon themselves but could not.
Maybe we can hear a few questions about this so it'll be clear to us what's happening. Because now we're all going out of the way out of Egypt. So let's see what the disturbances are and what we should do. So please. Do you want to ask? Okay, if not, then...
Pitachtikva 5.
Please, 5 and 18. Oh, Pitach 5 doesn't want it, really?
Oh, we want it. Rav, it's interesting. When we read it today, because we're having many more meetings with very high attendance, and they specifically, the students in the campus, asked about explaining the mixed multitudes. They asked about this, even though we learned about it many times, how do we explain it precisely about the connection, the importance of understanding the intention beyond the mitzvot?
Look, there's no doubt that there's a contradiction between existence in corporality and in internality and desire. Whereas if I do all kinds of physical actions, it doesn't really cost me any forces, and accordingly, in that desire, I feel myself calmer and more in place, and there's no problem with it. And all those actions that are written in the Torah, the meaning could be that they're also about corporeal and spiritual matters. First of all, we pay attention to how to keep this in a spiritual way, meaning with the desire. As if it's written, every single mitzvah is part of love your friend as yourself. Every single spiritual action is where I'm coming close through the 10 to the Creator. There's no more than that. Just like we've been speaking about all these days. The Torah has been telling us these things in a way that appears to us as being needed to be observed corporeally. That we need, well, to do all the physical actions. Now, in these physical actions, there's no actual reforming light. There's just this habit where a person will be able to make this kind of an effort. Whereas, if we're talking about the actions that need to be done in order to bestow, meaning to invert oneself and make himself in order to bestow to others, to the Creator, then here we already have great resistance from our egos, and we have great spiritual work in this. And there's no habit here, because the will to receive awakens each time and obligates us to build our relations anew and in order to bestow. That's the problem.
Something small, additional?
No, no. Whoever understands will understand. And there's no more than that. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we know that only through the work of man, to the extent in which he invests himself, he understands along the way what's happening with him. And you can't deliver this to others because each and every one can understand this path according to his investment. It's not a university where you sit and learn and then you understand with your intellect. But rather behind your efforts that you made, those efforts lead you to understanding. This is why we don't like to talk about things that are still not in us in a realistic manner. Let's continue reading.
We continue, page 148 in the Passover book from Rabbi Shimon says, it is from here that Rabbi Shimon says, he who fears the word of the Lord, the purest among the Egyptians kill, the best among the snakes smash its brains. You should interpret the words of Rabbi Shimon, the purest among the Egyptians kill. That is, what the Egyptians say is pure, kill. Since our sages said, he who comes to kill, you kill him first. In other words, that which the Egyptians tell you is pure, that this path is fit to walk in, know that he wishes to kill you from spiritual life. Therefore, kill those thoughts.
Meaning the main thing is the intention. We need to change our attitude, our desire, to in order to bestow. Certainly I can divide it to many people, all kinds of things, sweets and gifts. And it might be that it won't influence me in any way. But there must be here an intention of why, for what I'm doing this. If I'm doing it in order to be acceptable in their eyes, for them to see me as an important person who's giving them, caring for them, that's one thing. But if I do it in order to emerge out of my will to receive and to acquire the desire to bestow, I immediately feel the extent of my resistance of my ego and my nature, which doesn't let me do a thing. This is why it is all dependent on the intention. The best among the snakes smash its brains means that if the snake, which is the evil in man, advises you that this path is good for you and makes you clearly see in the way that the serpent came to Eve, do not argue with it, but smash its brains. That is, all the intellect that it explains, smash that intellect. In other words, we must go above reason.
Now we will explain the meaning of the matzah.
Is there anything to ask thus far? From here on, it's something new. Ukraine. We can't hear. Ukraine, we can't hear you.
No.
Well?
No,
we can't hear. Italy, one. Uno. We don't hear. Is there a problem again with the system? No, you don't hear him, Michael?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe it's different with Haifa? Oh, there's no question there. Be'er Sheva? We don't hear them either. We don't hear. So let's continue to read.
We are reading from Now We Will Explain. Now we'll explain the meaning of the matzah. In the work, we should interpret the word matzah from the word meriva, strife. For the matzah and meriva, and for the quarrel of the children of Israel, and for their trying the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Translation into Aramaic says about Meriva, the Matzah, strife is because the children of Israel strove. It follows that Matzah comes from the word strife, meaning that the people of Israel had a quarrel with the Creator over why He made it so difficult to work in order to bestow, and why, even though they try to come out of Egypt's governance, not only are they not advancing, they see that they are even regressing. In other words, they were tasting bitterness in the work, which caused them to quarrel with the Creator. And a strife is called matzah. We see that over such a complaint, the people of Israel quarreled with Moses, meaning what they saw, when they saw that when they began to work for the sake of the Creator, they had become worse. As it is written, and they said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge, for you have made our scent odious in Pharaoh's eyes. These complaints that they said to Moses, Moses said to the Creator, as it's written, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. You should interpret their complaint to Moses. And when they said, we'll see and judge, it means that they quarreled with Moses, since Moses told them to believe in the Creator, so they went out of the body's control. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, controls the body, and he afflicts the Kedusha, the sanctity. And they began to work in mind and heart and saw that the body, which is Pharaoh, began to govern them. That is, everything they wanted to do in the work of the Creator, the body resists it vigorously. Before they began to walk in Moses' way, they had strength in the work. But now, everything they do, the body loathes. This is the meaning of what is written about Moses, for you have made our scent odious in Pharaoh's eyes. In other words, our body loathes our spirit in the work of the Creator, once we begin the path of bestowal.
Holland one.
Hello, Raf.
Hi, Kos.
Good morning. In the beginning of the article, it says when we work in order to bestow, this is the time to receive the delight and pleasure that the Creator created in order to do good to His creations. This means that the salvation of the Lord comes into the vessels of bestowal. So my question is, what happens, let's say, with the pleasure? What happens with the light? Where does it go?
We don't hear the translation.
He's asking about the parts in the beginning of the article. The work of the Creator is when we work for the benefit of the Creator, when we are rewarded with adhering to the life of lives, and specifically when we work in order to bestow, that is the time to receive the abundance and pleasure the Creator created for its creatures. He's asking, what about this light, this pleasure? What is happening with this pleasure the Creator created? Where does it go? That's what I understood.
No, what do you mean, where does the pleasure go? If we, the whole question is whether we're preparing the kelim correctly or not. So our kelim are multi-layered. And the Egyptians and those who fear the Creator and serve Pharaoh, all those layers are within us. The whole world is in me, and the whole world is inside of it. So that's why it talks about how we prepare our kelim and how we need to correct them in order to truly have a kli that's ready in order to bestow. That is, that no, how should we say this? No temptation, no fear, no disturbance will come to them that will deviate us from the path. This is what it talks about. All those forces, also those who fear the Creator serving Pharaoh, are within a person. They're inside of a person. When I want to emerge from my will to receive, I discover that there are such qualities in me that are kind of holding me and grabbing me and not letting me leave my will to receive. They're like, wait, there's a little more to reason to remain. And they don't let me leave my, in order to receive. Also those, the multitude of masses, or those who fear the Creator, who serve Pharaoh, this is all inside of one person. The whole world is one person. That's why we're talking about this way.
I think that afterwards, it's written, he said there are two discernments in the abundance that comes to the vessels of bestowal. One, it comes in order to make vessels of bestowal.
Yes.
And it's not clear if the abundance came to the vessels, how that turns them into vessels of bestowal.
What is this?
It says the abundance comes in order to make vessels of abundance. How can the abundance come and create vessels of bestowal?
Why?
Because, as you say, there is the will to receive that wants to suck it.
I am saying that there's this also, this part in the will to receive that is not yet ready or willing to be in order to bestow. And this part that's not willing, a person includes everything. Where the light comes, it doesn't correct everything to in order to bestow, but only a small part. And all the rest, no, and you need to sort and differentiate and to say this to here and this to there and that to there and this to this. This I'm correcting now and this is for later. And then you need to see these things and see it also according to this world. Because this world is a reflection of your internal spiritual perception. And accordingly, the Kabbalists behaved in such a way. They would go to exile, for instance, to feel how there still is around them hostility and haters. They tried to carry out all kinds of actions. The world that we see is a reflection of our spiritual perception.
So this sorting creates vessels of bestowal, saying, here I can, here I can't.
Yes, yes.
So what is, in this case, the exodus from Egypt, that he can say over the entire desire, that this is not? What is different about the exodus from Egypt?
The exit from Egypt is where you're scrutinizing the things that are for and against the exit. You differentiate between them, and nevertheless, they follow you. They run after you, all this multitude of masses, and don't want you to leave. You leave. But Pharaoh, your ego, your general ego, sends them after you, so you will truly be in a problem. It's very difficult for you to emerge, to go, to leave. As it's written, the great flaw for Israel, for those who want to leave Egypt towards the Creator.
How can we ensure we have the environment?
There needs to be a good environment relative to the bad environment, and the people of Israel sigh from the work. We need to cry out to the Creator to help us. But there's no cry if you don't effort and if you don't invest all your forces in it. All the forces possible, and the forces you're not capable of, that's where the multitude of masses comes from.
No.
Well, we have a question from Be'er Sheva, if you want, Rav.
Yes.
Hello. If there are students that came from the wisdom of Kabbalah, to the wisdom of Kabbalah from different methods, which are somewhat similar to the wisdom of Kabbalah, can that be a disturbance to one who wants to come to spirituality, like the multitude of masses, and what to do with it?
If they are willing to work on themselves and try to forget about those other methods, then of course they can connect. They can. This is called those who repent, because a person doesn't come empty, as if he was just born. He comes with different forms of preparations, wherever he was before, various philosophies, practices. What can you do? Whatever is. All of us in this generation are corrupted with various methodologies, but gradually the upper light cleanses everyone and brings all of us to the to a leveled field.
We have Petach Tikva 2. Shai has a question. He writes exactly in the area that Kos asked right now in the article. He writes that the abundance comes to make vessels of bestowal. The light comes after he already has vessels of bestowal. What's the difference between the abundance and the light?
We have the upper light only, nothing more. Only the upper light. But when he influences us, we are in this multi-layered structure. We have many structures in us. So, therefore, we receive the influence of the upper light in various levels, different perceptions of impression of an excitement. Again, the question?
What's the difference between the abundance and the light that he describes in the article?
There's light that comes to correct the vessels, where our vessel is in order to receive, our desire to enjoy for himself. And then the light that comes corrects us, so we would want to work to delight the Creator and not our own ego. This is the light that comes to correct the vessels. And then the light that comes to fill the vessels. When the vessels are corrected, the Creator wishes to reveal Himself in them to some extent in order to give us an opportunity to delight Him. Then we are there in a form, some form of connection with the Creator, seemingly. Various levels of connection. This is already the matter of attaining the Creator in 125 degrees.
Rechovot? Rechovot? Hello, our dear Rav.
No.
We don't manage to deal with the Egyptians and ourselves by our own. So if an Egyptian awakens in my friend in the ten, how do I care for it?
Only to strengthen the friend, to show him that you are engaged in the work of the Creator. And you're not surrendering to the Egyptians. Talk about it amongst yourselves. And try to
thank you.
Grow stronger. The mixed multitudes are not simply Egyptians. They are much more sly compared to the Egyptians. Cunning, because the Egyptians, in general, are desires to receive that belong to the work of the Creator. But there are those among them who do the work of the Creator in corporeality, especially in this extreme corporeal form, and in that they are completely opposed to the true workers of the Creator. We see it throughout our entire path. It's a grave malfunction, failure, compared to those who are Israel, aimed at the equivalence of form.
We have Latin 6.
Latin
6.
We have two questions, Rav.
Primera pregunta.
The first question, why are the Egyptians called the servants of the Creator?
We spoke about it. The Egyptians are not the Egyptians that you see in Egypt. The Coptic, Arabs and all that, no. The Egyptians are the will to receive, the desires to receive in us that resist coming out of Egypt. Yehudim, the Jews, are desires to receive that do wish to come out of Egypt and to unite with the Creator. So there are those of the Egyptians that are somewhere in the middle between the Egyptians and Israel, meaning they want specifically to even prevent, hold back the people of Israel from coming out of Egypt. They are called the mixed multitudes.
But
if you go to page 147, column 1,
he
writes,
what you read before, Rav?
Yeah, and to work. It is known that the Egyptians were the workers of the Creator. Just understand, everyone, friends all over the world, we are not dividing people according to what we have today, nations, different groups. You're a Spaniard, I'm German, he's Russian, I'm Jewish. No, it's not like that. The wisdom of Kabbalah does not divide humanity into such groups of people, nations. The The division is totally different. The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks only to those desires, not even people. Those desires that yearn to reach adhesion with the Creator, they are called Israel. And those who do not yearn for it completely, thoroughly, are called Egyptians. Those who disturb them from reaching adhesion with the Creator are called the mixed multitudes, and so on and so forth, meaning that the vision is not according to your ID or your passport. In effect, we have concluded.
We can move to the second article that you talked about the matter of environment.
I don't know, it might be too much. I just want to clarify that all those desires, Egyptians, Jews, Israelis, mixed multitudes, they're all found in a single person, because a person, man, is a small world. So we don't divide it according to, oh, he's Italian, he's Spanish, he's something else. No, we consider only a person's will to receive. Where is he aimed at? How distant he is from the correction, or close to the correction? How willing he is to change or not, or unwilling? That is our entire work. This is our entire division. So for me, it's not important who's before me. The faces I see, yellow, white, black. Truly, no. What's important to me are the desires. The desires in a person. He has all the desires. After the mixing and the shattering, we have all the desires in us. So in each and every one, we need to help them to raise in him, to strengthen in him the desire aimed at the Creator. And all the other desires, a little lower than that. And this way we help one another sort himself out and aim ourselves at our goal. Kiev.
It says, hi, dear Rav. According to the text, here he writes that to take to splash the heads of the snakes, meaning take what's good for you. What is that counsel, actually?
The snake, the serpent, is the intention to receive. Very cunning intention. He's very sly, smart. He twists us in such a way that we don't understand where we're going. He's doing it like a serpent, like a snake. A cunning person we also call a snake. He doesn't walk straight. He keeps flip-flopping and changing his way. It appears to that he's going right one way, then wrong the other way, the other time. You can't follow him clearly, but this is his intention. On the one hand. On the other hand, this snake awakens in us special forces through which we can get to know him. And from getting to know him, we begin to get to know ourselves. Because after all, who is the snake? He's in us, each and every one of us. There is a snake in our heart that makes us go this way and that way. And when we get to know him, we can grab him. Rabash writes about those who catch snakes, catch him by the tail, hold them by the head. Baal Sulam also writes about it. Those are all
clues to, as to how do we need to relate to our will to receive.
That's it. יש לנו קייב ויש לנו אוקראינה. מי זה אוקראינה?
קייב and the Ukraine.
לא, לא מרגיש. יש. כן? לא שומעים.
Can't hear you.
לא שומעים, לא שומעים.
Can I hear you?
טוב. אין מה לעשות.
Okay, what can you do?
BBUK.
BBUK.
Good morning, teacher.
No. Lo shomim.
No, cannot hear you.
Zabaya.
That's a problem.
Internet amus meot.
The internet is overloaded.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Yerushalayim. No. Lo shomim, ken?
Can't hear you. Yeah?
We don't hear them either.
Also Jerusalem.
No, as in malasot, bo anachnu navor im kach.
Let's go to the next part of the lesson before sing a song.
Before that, we'll sing a song.
Between us in this life, we're all dying to know what awakens between us. In my heart, I can't take it no more. If we made it so far, it's a sign that we're close to our goal. So we march on together, and soon we'll discover our soul. Let it all out, leave all your cares, and begin to dissolve in the love in the air. We won't despair, no, we won't stop. Keep moving together, we let no one try. Let it all out, leave all your cares, and begin to dissolve in the love in the air. We won't despair. No, we won't stop. We climb up the ladder, we climb to the top. La 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 la. See, the world keeps on turning. Ascents and descents, are we done, lost our way? The world around us is burning. We can hasten the time day by day.
night.